All right, we'll say good morning.
Let's begin. Today's daf is in Gimel, but we'll start from the Mishnah on Nun Beis Amud Beis. So says the Mishnah, Chamor Yotzi Bemardas is Man Shikshurlo. So again, still keeping with our theme of animals on Shabbos and what animals are permitted to go ahead and go out with and not go out with. So the Mishnah says that a donkey could go out with a Mardas. Now Rashi points out over here, Manichin osa kol yom ala chomer lechamemo. So the truth is, the way this normally translates is a saddle cloth. So what it is it's like a big blanket that goes over the donkey. So one is permitted to go ahead, a donkey is permitted to go ahead and go out with a marda'as on Shabbos, as long as it's kshuro, though, as long as ultimately it's tied to. So Rashi points out over here that the point of this saddle cloth is to keep the donkey warm. We'll see that apparently donkeys are always cold. The Gemara says, even in Tkufas Tamuz, Karale, even in the summer, donkeys are cold. So again, so therefore this blanket, this saddle cover, has the din of a malbush, has the din ultimately of an article of clothing, of a tachshit for the donkey, and therefore there's no issue with the donkey wearing it out on Shabbos. Zucharim yotzim levuvin. So the goats go out levuvin. So we're going to just translate these words. Later on, the Mishnah is going to explain exactly what it, the Gemara is going to explain exactly what it is. But levuvin means that the goats go out attached. Rechelos, use. Yotzos, shechuzos, go out held. Kavulos, ukavunos, and also go out tied, as well as fastened. Ha'izim, again, the izim go out. Ha'izim, yotzos, tsururos. The izim, the goats go out, or the rams go out, tsururos, tied. Rabbi Yossi, oser bechulon, chutz min ha'rechelim ha'kavunos. Rabbi Yossi holds that all of these aforementioned cases are azar, except for the rechelim, for the ewes that go out kavunos, that go out fastened. Look at Rashi for just a moment over here. So Rashi says, Rabbi Yossi, oser bechulon, demasui hu. Rabbi Yossi's shita is that ultimately all of these other things are considered to be a masui. According to Rabbi Yossi, all of these things are considered to be a burden. No, no, I want to point out something very important over here. An animal obviously has no issue of hotzah. Right, and we're not worried about the animal. Okay, we're worried about over here is, as we mentioned at the beginning of this parak, is the Torah says that your animal is not supposed to do avoda on Shabbos either. Therefore, again, what the guiding light principle over here is anything that's considered to be, so to speak, an article of clothing of the animal. Anything that's a tachshit, an adornment of the animal, is permitted. Anything that's deemed unnecessary is ultimately called a masal. Is called a burden, and that's usur on Shabbos. You can't lead in your animal with a burden. So Rabbi Yossi holds that all of these things are considered a burden, except for the rechelim for the ewes that could go out, kavunos could go out fastened.
So this is sort of, did these isurim apply even within a single shus then? Correct.
Rabbi Huda says, Izim yotzos tsururos liyavish avalo lechalav. So Rabbi Huda holds that izim, that goats can go out tsururos, could go out tied, if your intention is to dry up their milk supply, but not to catch the milk that drips from the udders. So apparently, I will say, apparently, if you wanted the animal, I guess, to stop lactating, what they would do is, they would go out and they would tie up the udders. So when you would tie up the udders to stop the animal's milk supply, they would make sure to tie the pouch onto the udder very tight. Masha'inkein, and therefore again, because it's tied very tight, there's no concern that it may come to fall off, and you, meaning owner of the animal, may come to carry it. On the other hand, when the pouch was attached to go ahead and catch milk that may have been dripping from the udders, then that was not tied as tight, and therefore there was a concern that what may occur, the pouch may fall off, and the owner of the animal may actually come to carry it. So in this last case, the concern is not just simply about the animal, the concern is also about the fact that if the pouch falls off, the owner himself may come to carry the pouch as well. Says the Gemara, Amar Shmuel. So we'll see, now the Gemara is going to focus on the Marda'as case, on the saddlecloth case. So Amar Shmuel, Vuhu shekshura lo me'erev Shabbos. So Shmuel says, when do we say that the animal could go out with the saddlecloth on Shabbos? That's only if what? That's only if the saddlecloth was tied on to the animal already on Erev Shabbos. I want to take a quick look at Tosas. Tosas says, Vuhu shekshura lo me'erev Shabbos. Rashi Pirush l'kaman to be kshura me'erev Shabbos, having malbush hachomer. So Rashi later on is going to suggest that it's only if the saddlecloth is tied on an Erev Shabbos that the saddlecloth has a din of Gabbai. God, I'm not, you can't be a learning piece. All right. So Tosfos points out that Rashi is going to go ahead later on and say that halacha lemaisa and the bikshura, that if it's tied on Erev Shabbos, then that shows it's a malbush. If it's not tied on Erev Shabbos, then that's a masur. What Rashi's shita is that halacha lemaisa, if it's really necessary for the animal, it'll be on the animal already on Erev Shabbos. If it's not on the animal of Erev Shabbos, it shows that it's not necessary.
Wear it indoors.
But oh, yesh lefarish, donkeys aren't indoors too often. Yeah, so if your donkey's indoors, you have bigger problems than the Mardeya. Yeah. No, they're outdoor animals. They're outdoor animals. The old Yesh Lefarish, the Be'enik Shurme Erev Shabbos, Nechseki Neskavi Mehotzas HaMardeya. Furthermore, again, Sos tells us that Halocha Lemaisa, if you also go ahead and Dafka put it on Erev Shabbos, it looks like your intention is to transport the Mardeya. And he quotes another opinion. Also, it has the appearance, if you're putting it on Shabbos, that maybe you're beginning to go out and take the animal on a long journey. So the Tosfos just gives you different, but the idea is, what Shmuel is saying is, if it's necessary for the animal, then it should be there on Erev Shabbos. If it's not there on Erev Shabbos, then what? It shows that ultimately it's not really necessary for the animal. The Mishnah also supports this idea. The Mishnah says that a chomer can't go out. Right? Excuse me. A chamer cannot go out, and a marde, excuse me, in a chamer yotzi, a marde is bismashin ikshurlo. A chamer cannot go out if the mardeya is not tied to it. So you're both saying, all our Mishnah, the Mishnah said, chamer yotzi, mardeya bismashin ikshurlo. Our Mishnah phrased it in the positive. Right? So the positive is that an animal, a donkey, could go out when the mardeya is tied to it. So we have an alternate reading of this, which is that in a chamer yotzi, bimardeya bismashin ikshurlo. So, hechi dami, what's the case? So, what would be the case where the animal can't go out when the mardeya is not tied to it? If we're talking about a case where the mardeya is not tied onto the animal at all, then pshita, that's obvious the animal can't go out. Why? Because if the mardeya is not tied to the animal, we have another concern, which is that it may fall off over the course of Shabbos, and the owner of the animal may come to carry it. Ela lav shenik shura me'erev Shabbos. Rather, what is the Braisa coming to teach us? It must be that it's talking about a case where the mardeya was not tied on Erev Shabbos. Michlal the resha shekshura lo me'erev Shabbos. Therefore, again, the inference from that is that our Mishnah must be talking about a case where the mardeya was tied onto it on Erev Shabbos. Shmanu. And indeed, learn from this that Shmuel's qualification holds true, that halacha lemaisa, the only time the donkey could go out with the mardeya is if the mardeya was tied onto the animal on Erev Shabbos already. Tanya nami hafi, right, so that supports this. Chomer yotze b'mardas b'zman shekshulam Erev Shabbos. A donkey couldn't go out with its saddle cloth as long as it was tied onto it on Erev Shabbos. Below be'ukov, but it can't go out with a saddle. Afa pi shekshulam Erev Shabbos. It can't go out with the saddle, even if the saddle was tied onto the animal on Erev Shabbos. The Rabbah said, this is interesting. Rashi says, look at the top line of Rashi. Af bu'ukaf, actually, no, that's the wrong Rashi. But the assumption is, now, what was the difference between the saddle and the saddle cloth? So the assumption is, even if the saddle gives a little bit of heat, it gives a little bit of warmth to the animal. First of all, it's only a small amount of warmth, right? Because remember, the whole chapa of this, I think when we think about a saddle cloth, I don't know how much of it remembers with the saddle cloth, but we often think of a piece of material underneath the saddle that prevents like the saddle from chafing again. That's not what they're referring to over here. They're really referring to almost like a blanket type malbush that covered the animal. And it was really done for warmth. So the Bryce over here is saying, however, with an ukaf, with a saddle, an animal can't go out with a saddle on Shabbos, even if the saddle is tied onto the animal on Erev Shabbos. Then I've also been pashtos. The reason for that is why? Because what's the point of a saddle? It's to carry a rider, right? Carrying a rider, you can't ride an animal on Shabbos. There are two issues with riding the animal on Shabbos. One is an issue vis-a-vis the rider, right? That Chazal where goes there, that ultimately one may come to go in and break off a branch and to hit the animal. But there's a bigger issue, which ultimately is that there's a masui, right? That it's the animal carrying a load. An animal carrying a load. And therefore, again, says the Braisa, there's no need to put a saddle on. A saddle doesn't serve any purpose to the animal on Shabbos. And therefore, were you to put it on the animal, then what? It would be a masui. Rabbi Shimon Gam.
So doesn't this go back to the argument that if you're not really getting a hanala out of it, it's a dumb or shame or whatever it is, it's the saddle's on the animal, not for your benefit whatsoever. So
you're saying for the warming benefit.
Except for, you just didn't take it off. Or it's a warming or whatever it is.
We'll see. Look, so Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, look at the next slide. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Af Be'ukaf. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, it's okay, you can keep the saddle on. Bizman Shekshur Lo Me'erev Shabbos. As long as the saddle is tied on Erev Shabbos. What's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's point? Af Be'ukaf, Rashi says, De'ihu Nami Ma'ani V'chalma. The truth is, the saddle also actually does benefit the animal. Why? Because at least in the part that it's sitting, it does contribute to the general warmth of the animal. Sir Shimon Gamliel says, as long as, again, it's tied on there on Erev Shabbos, because remember, being tied on there on Erev Shabbos goes back to the previous discussion. If it's tied on there on Erev Shabbos, it shows that this is significant for you, right, for the benefit of the animal, therefore you're permitted to go ahead and keep it there on Shabbos. Ubilvad shelo yikshar lo masrichon, ubilvad shelo yifshar lo ritzua tachas znavo. With two qualifications, that you can't go ahead and tie the masrichon. The masrichon was a strap that went underneath the neck, and Yif Shalo Ritzua Tachas Znavo was a strap that went underneath the tail. What does that mean? That the way they used to put a saddle on an animal was, you had the saddle, so I guess I'm assuming that obviously it's tied underneath the animal itself, but they would also have a strap from the saddle that went to the neck of the animal, and a strap that went under the tail. What was the chap? So that this way, when the animal was going uphill, right? So again, the strap on the neck would prevent the saddle from falling off. When it was going downhill, the strap on the tail would prevent it from sliding forward. So the point, look at Rashi over here. The Rashi says, because the moment that you start putting on those straps, then it has the appearance that you're getting ready to load up the animal. So you want to, says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, you want to leave the ukuf there, you want to leave the saddle there that was tied on there Erev Shabbos because you think it provides some heat, some warmth benefit to the animal. That's fine, but you can't start tying the additional straps which give the appearance that you're getting ready to load up the animal. So listen to this. Rav Asi Bar Nosson asked the following question from Rav Chiya Bar Rav Ashi. Mahu litein mardas al gabe chomer b'shabbos? Can you place the mardas, we're going back now to the saddlecloth, can you place the saddlecloth back, or it's not back, can you place the saddlecloth on the donkey on Shabbos? Omer le, mutter. So interestingly enough, Rav Chiya Bar Rav Ashi said it's mutter. Omer le, v'chi ma bein zel v'okof. I say, said to him, so what is the difference between this and the saddle? Ishtik. He was quiet. So the Gemara said, I will say, here's what's interesting. So Rav Asi Bar Nosson assumed that the fact that Rav Chiya Bar Rav Ashi was quiet was that ultimately he yielded. The kasha was Mikasha. But then he said the following, Eisvei. So he raised the following kasha. Ukov sha'al gabe chomer lo yitaltalenu biyado. So if you have an ukov, if you have a saddle that's on the animal, you may not remove that saddle with your hands. You may not move your saddle with the hands. Ella, molicha umavia b'chatzer. Rather, what do? You walk the animal back and forth in the courtyard. V'hu nofel me'elav. And the saddle will fall off by itself. So the Gemara says, hashta litol amrit lo. Now, if you're telling me that I can't remove the saddle, biadayim directly, lahaniach miboy. Is it a shayla? Meaning, I will say, if I can't remove the saddle, then what? Then it goes without saying, the Gemara suggests, that I can't put the saddle on. So the Gemara says, Amar le Rabbi Zera, shafke kirabei svira le. So Rabbi Zera said, leave him alone, because he holds like his Rebbe. What does his Rebbe say? The Amar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Amar Rav, because Rav Chiya Bar Ashi said the name of Rav, tolin trasko lebehema b'shabbos. You could tie a feedback, truskel is a feedback, to an animal on Shabbos. Rashi says, truskel, sal mole sa'urim, tolin lo b'tzavara. You go ahead and you hang a bag filled with barley on its neck. Upiha nosu nosocho, and literally the mouth of the animal is put in the bag. Va'ocheles, and you can eat, and the animal eats from it. V'tanuk ba'almohu, shlo titrach lasuach tzavara la'aretz. So we'll say that, what's the chap of a feedback? The chap of a feedback, it's the animal's own Nick Shabbos, right? Because what happens when you have a feedback? The animal doesn't have to bend its head downward in order to go ahead and eat. So Rav says that you're permitted to go ahead and suspend the feedback on the animal on Shabbos. The kavachomer lemardas. And kavachomer, that's what? That you can go ahead and put the mardas on the animal. So the Gemara says, umma hosom dumishum ta'anug shari. Because what's the chav? Meaning, why do we say that if Rav says that you could suspend the feedback, that of course Rav says you could put the mardas also? Because if the Gemara says, if when it comes to the feedback, which is only tanug, the feedback is not a necessity, it's tanug. So if you could do that for the animal, then what? Hacha mishum tsar lo kol shekin. Then all the more so what? Then all the more so halacha lemaisa, you should be able to do that for a mardas. Why? Because the mardas alleviates the tsar of the animal. As you said, we're going to talk about this idea, donkeys get cold very easily. So if you're permitted to go ahead and put something on the animal, which just gives the animal pleasure, but it's not a necessity, then all the more so what? You could put something on the animal, which is considered to be a necessity, which alleviates discomfort of the animal, and that's not called a masui. So the Gemara says, Shmuel Amar, mardas, so we'll say that's the position of Rav. So Rav holds that both the traskel as well as the mardas is mutar. So Shmuel says, of course it goes without saying that to alleviate the tsar of the animal you're permitted to do, but not only that, you could even suspend something from the animal for the purpose of what? For the purpose of tanug. Shmuel comes along and argues. And Shmuel, I suggest just to tie this back up, said for Rav Chiya Bar Ashi holds like his Rebbe Rav, that the only things you're permitted to go ahead and do for the animal are things that either alleviate tsar or that even give tanug. But let's say something like the ukaf, the saddle, which essentially for the animal's purposes is pretty much inconsequential, you can't do on Shabbos. When I say can't do, I mean you can't put on the animal on Shabbos. Shmuel Amar Shmuel says, Mardas Mutter, Shmuel agrees with Rav, that you could put the saddlecloth on. However, traskel usser. However, Shmuel holds that the traskel is usser. So look at Rashi for just a moment. Mardas mutter, the tsa'arahi, hilchach orcha bahachi, velav masuihu. So Shmuel's position is the following, Rabosai. Anything that is necessary for the animal, anything that's necessary for the animal, then ultimately that's not called the burden of Shabbos for the animal. And therefore, the animal is permitted to have it on Shabbos. But according to Shmuel, the traskel, which is not a necessity at all, and if the animal doesn't have it, there's not going to be any kind of tsar, Shmuel says you can't attach to the animal on Shabbos. If you do so, it would be a masui.
How come Shmuel said at the beginning of the Gemara that it had to be from the Arab Shabbos?
Oh, so that. So you will combine these two ideas. When we say that Shmuel says it could be on, it means that on Erev Shabbos. But Shmuel would say that even if you attach the traskel on Erev Shabbos, the animal would still not be permitted to go ahead and go out with that on Shabbos. Azul Rav Chiya Bar Yosef. Azul Rav Chiya Bar Yosef. Amr l'shmaite d'rav kamei d'shmuel. So listen to this. Rav Chiya Bar Yosef came along, and he said over this statement of Rav in front of Shmuel. Now remember, Rav was of the position that what? You can attach the traskel you can attach the mardas as well as the traskel. So Rav Chiya Bar Yosef said over this statement of Rav in front of Shmuel. So Shmuel said, Amar lei, Ihachi Amar Abba, lo yoda b'mili d'shabso v'lo klum. So Shmuel obviously did not take kindly to this statement. So Shmuel said, if this is what Abba, Shmuel spoke about Rav in very differential terms. He called him Abba, he called him father. That's an incredible sign of covet, right? When you call someone a father, it means he's greater than you. But Shmuel said, if this is what Abba said, then he does not know anything about Hilchos Shabbos. Right? Only Jews could do this, right? I'm going to call him Abba, but I'm also going to tell him he doesn't know anything about Hilchos Shabbos. So Shmuel obviously disagreed with Rav's statement. Kisolik Rab Zera Ashkechel Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes, the Yosef Ka'amalei Meshed Rabbi Yochanan. So when Rabbi Zera went from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, he found Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes, who was sitting, and said over the following statement in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Nosnin Mardas Al Gabe Chomer B'Shabbos. You could put a Mardas on top of a Chomer, on top of a donkey on Shabbos. Amar Lei, Yosher. He said to him, Shkoyach, Dechein Tirgama Aryoch B'Bavel. And this is what Aryoch said in Bavel as well. Okay, so the Gemara says, Aryoch Manu, who is Aryoch? Shmuel. Aryoch was the name of Shmuel. I don't know if there's a Rashi over here. Yeah, look at Rashi. Rashi says, it's actually in the Rashi Abba. If you go down two lines now, Rashi Abba, Shmuel Kari Aryoch, Al Shem Shahaya Baki Bedinin, V'Shofet Kemelech HaShofet Ala Aretz, Lashon Recha Melech. So Aryoch was another name that was used for kings. So therefore, Gemara uses this in a couple of different places. So Shmuel was often called the Aryoch, was called the ruler, was called the Recha, was called the king. Why? Because his rulings were accepted throughout the land. V'ha Rav Nami Amra. But Rav also said this same statement that you could put it. Meaning, I will say, remember, everybody, Rav and Shmuel agree about the Mardas. Everyone agrees that you can put the saddlecloth on, right? What's the only shayla? The only shayla was with the traskel. No, because there was more to the statement. What was more to the statement? The ain tolin traskel b'shabbos. Because again, Rabbi Yom Bar Yefes. Rabbi Yom ended the statement by saying that you also can't suspend the traskel from the animal on Shabbos. Armalei Yasher v'chein tirgama Aryoch bebavel. Now remember, Rav said that you can put the traskel on. So Shmuel was the one who said you cannot. Duchulei Alma mihas mardas mutter. Everyone agrees that a mardas is mutter. So we'll say, when I say everybody agrees with the mardas, meaning everybody agrees that the animal is permitted to go out with the mardas on Shabbos. We still, as Ben Siyomish, we still have a machlokas in terms of when that mardas has to be put on. Does the mardas have to be placed on the animal erev Shabbos, or can you even place the mardas on the animal on Shabbos? But leaving that particular machlokas aside, everyone agrees that a mardas, a saddlecloth on an animal, is not considered to be a burden, and therefore an animal could go out with that on Shabbos. My shnomi ukof. So the Gemara says, but I'm still hung up on this idea. What is the difference between the mardas and the ukof, and the saddle? See, because the assumption is the saddle also goes ahead and gives some level of heat. Shiny hasam, the efshar the nafal memela. So the Gemara's first answer is that I guess it's easier for the saddle to fall off than it is for the mardas. So there's a concern that if you let the animal out with the mardas, the saddle will more easily fall off. The truth is, it makes sense, especially in light of the previous statement, that even according to those who say that you can put the saddle on the Shabbos, even for those who say that you can put the saddle on the donkey on Shabbos, hold that you can't do what? Right, you can't attach it to the neck and to the tail. So those things also normally anchor the saddle. So apparently, again, even those who hold that the saddle is also a warming type of garment, there's a real chashash that will fall off over the course of Shabbos. And therefore, again, the concern, therefore, would be that the owner would pick it up and ultimately come to carry it. Rav Papa says simpler. Rav Papa amar kan lechamema kan letzanina. So Rav Papa says like this. It's actually quite interesting. Rav Papa says that the truth is the Gemara is really focusing on the Braisa that was talking about the taking off of the saddle. That was really the issue, because remember the Braisa said that you can't even take off a saddle from the animal on Shabbos. Rather, what do you have to do? You have to let the animal walk around until the saddle falls off. So the Gemara is exactly wondering why is that. So Rav Papa says it's very simple. Kan lechamema, kan letzanina. That to go ahead and put the mardas on the animal, that's done for the purpose of warming up the animal, as opposed to the act of going ahead and taking the saddle off. That's done to go ahead and cool off the animal. If the animal gets a little overheated, you take off the saddle. Look at Rashi. Kan lechamema, mardas tzorech lechamema. So you need the saddlecloth in order to warm the animal. Or mutum mishum tzar detzina. And therefore, you're permitted to go ahead and have the animal go out with it on Shabbos because the animal has discomfort if it doesn't have the saddlecloth. However, avam natilas ukof, eino el shali sheyitstanin, sheneschamema ayidei masay shenasami ba'od yom, v'ilo shakalei lo ichpaslan, shuri yitstanin me'ilav. So we'll say, why would people want to take off the saddle? The taking off of the saddle was done because the animal became overheated. So the animal became overheated, therefore he wanted to remove the saddle. But the point is, even if you don't remove the saddle, what's going to happen? The animal ultimately will cool down by itself. It might just take a little bit longer. So that's not enough of a tsar for the animal that would permit you to actively remove the saddle. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, L'chamema islay tsara. If the animal is cold, to heat it, if you don't give it the mardas, the saddlecloth, the animal is going to have real tsar. Let's sun it up. But the fact that the animal needs to cool down, you're not removing the saddle, so it'll take a little bit longer for the animal to cool down, that's not enough. That's not enough of a real tsar to allow you to actively remove the saddle. Less late tsara. The Ainu da Amri Inshin is what people say. Chamra, a donkey, afilu bit kufas tamos kriole. Donkeys are cold even in the midst of the summer. Okay. So the Gemara is like this. Meisvei. Lo yetze hasus bizanov shul. So a horse may not go out with a fox's tail. Now what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi if it's just the one. Bizanov shul. Shetolden lo bein einov. Shelo yishlot bo ayin. So apparently, what they used to do is they used to hang a fox's tail between the eyes of their horse as like to ward off ayin hara. Okay. I'm sorry?
They're probably more expensive.
Than a donkey?
Yeah, they're probably
Right? Yeah, so although the Gemara is not saying over here, it's not even relative to that, because the Gemara is talking about practices. So people would often hang a fox's tail in between their horse's eyes to ward off the Eitz HaRa, to ward off Ayin HaRa. Let's read it. Velo bizahuris shebein enov bizaharuris. Excuse me. And similarly, you can't go ahead and take it out with a red string that's between its eyes, right? Lo yetze. I'm sorry. Shebein enov. So look at Rashi for just a moment. So Rashi says again, zuhuris lenoi, because again, ultimately, it's only for decoration purposes. So we'll say, what's the common denominator between these two things? The common denominator between these two things is that they're not called a malbush. They're not necessities for the animal. If they're not necessity for the animal, then halacha lemaisa, there's no need for it on Shabbos. Lo yetze hazov bikis shelo. Ultimately, a zov may not go out with the kiss. Now remember, we spoke about this idea before. What's wrong?
I'm just wondering, the red strip, do they confuse the people Ayin HaRa people wear the red strip?
No, so the truth is, you should know, that's actually one of those things that does have, there are some Ayin HaRa practices that really have no basis, but the red string, remember, the red string was a major part in the service of Yom Kippur, in the Beis HaMikdash. So that red string ritual that was done in the Beis HaMikdash certainly evolved into Yetzer Hara, into Ayin Hara, and other things also. That's like the red bendel that people wear today, traces, so people were obviously doing that for their animals also.
But when it says a foxtail or a red strip, they're both purposes to
one
of the Ayin HaRa.
Correct. Both are purposes. They're both Ayin HaRa devices, right? Antidotes, right. Okay. So we'll say, but for our purposes over here, the point is, they're not a malbush.
It says Rashi, it says the red strip was just for decorative purposes.
Right. Well, the truth is, Lenoi. No, Lenoi. What does it mean, Lenoi? Lenoi means it's not a malbush. It's not a malbush. Even the red string was also done for Ayin HaRa purposes, but anything by definition that's not called a malbush is noi. It's just decoration purpose. Anything that's decoration purposes, by definition, is called a masui. All right, so weiter. So the Gemara says the following. Lo yetze azov b'kishlo. So actually, we spoke about this case earlier. Azov is a person who's having these type of emissions. Now remember, depending on how the emissions happen, depending on the level of tumah that he has. If he has one emission, then Allah l'maisi, he's just tameh for that particular day. Once he has three emissions, then he has a more chomer status, and he'd have to keep shivin akim, 7 clean days, as well as go ahead and bring karbanos. So if a person was experiencing these emissions, he would wear a kiss, he would wear a pouch over the makom milah in order to be able to see if he was having these emissions or not. So a zov should not go out with his kiss on Shabbos. It's not what Rashi says. Shetolun lo ba'amosa lekabel zov ulivdok minyan riyosav she'eno tachshit lo. So ultimately, again, this is not considered to be a garment. And therefore, now also we saw this in Machlokas, because there are others who say, we saw Mishnah that said that a zov can go out with his kiss. Okay, according to this Brisa, he can't go out with his kiss. Velo izim bekis shebedadehem. So too goats cannot go out with the pouch that's on their udders. Velo para b'chasom shebepiha. And a cow may not go out with the muzzle on its mouth. Velo sayochim. Sayochim are colts. B'traskalim shebepiha. With the feed bags that's on their mouth. L'rush sarabim. All of these things a person or an animal can't go out with. L'rush sarabim. Velo behema b'sandal shebiragleha. And the animal cannot go out with a shoe that's on its foot. Velo b'kamiya. And the animal can't go out with an amulet. Even though the amulet is proven to have worked already. And this is considered to be a stringency that animals have over people. We'll discuss exactly what that statement means in just a moment. But the animal can go on out, excuse me, with a bandage that is on top of a wound, or with splints that are on a fractured bone, or if the animal had given partial birth and there's a placenta, or the animal had given birth already and the placenta is dangling from the animal could go out with that as well. Furthermore, upokikin la zug bitzavara. This is actually interesting, so we'll talk about this later on, that you're not supposed to take an animal out with its bell on Shabbos. Now, there are two reasons for that. One of the issues is hashmas kol. You're not permitted to go ahead and cause a sound, to emanate from a sound-making device on Shabbos. We'll discuss that. Also, because one of the ways that people used to shut their animal was for sale, is they would have the animal wear a bell. The chat is that when the animal would rattle, it would catch the attention of people. That showed that the animal was for sale. So there's an issue also that if the animal goes out with its bell on Shabbos, it looks like you're ready to transact business, which could be problematic. So therefore, the Braisa says that what can you do? You could poke a kinlas, as it literally means you plug up the bell. I guess what it means is you put material in the bell so that the... what do you call that middle part of the
clapper?
The clapper. So the clapper won't clank against the side. So you plug it up, so that means poking in lazug b'tzavara, umetayelas ima b'chatzar, and the animal could walk around that way in the chatzar. Now we'll see, the Gemara is going to pick up later on, it's only in the chatzar can walk around that way, but it can't walk around that way in the Rosh Hashanah. Fine. So the Gemara says, "Rabbi, why do we call this whole braisa? We don't. This is not our topic. But what is our topic? Katani mihas velo sayachin betraskelin shevapim l'shesarabim. The part that catches our attention of this braisa is what? Is the fact that the colts cannot go out with their feed bags into l'shesarabim. The Rabbi says, l'shesarabim hudelo habechazir shapir dami. Now, it seems to be the only issue that the braisa had with the colts going out with their feed bags is what into l'shesarabim, but." To go ahead and walk around in the chutzar, that would be okay. And I both say, remember, there are two different conversations happening over here. There's one conversation about what an animal could go out with Rosh Hasharabim. That in Rosh Hasharabim, our concern is for what? That if it's something that becomes easily detached, the concern is that the owner may pick up the item and what? And carry it. So there's an issue of hotzah by the owner. But there's a second issue, which is really our primary issue, which is a masui, that an animal can't carry anything that is considered to be a burden. Now, Rabosai, that does not matter where the animal is. Meaning an animal can't carry a burden, and it doesn't matter if the animal's in a shayachid, if the animal's in your living room, or if the animal's in a shayachid. An animal can't carry a burden on Shabbos. So the Gemara makes an interesting deal. The Braisa said that the colts can't go out, the horses can't go out with their feed bags into Rosh Hasharabim. Now, what that sounds like is, it's only in Rosh Hasharabim that there's an issue. Because I guess maybe the feed bags become easily detached. But let's say, again, Habichotzer, but if your colt is in your courtyard, then what? Then it can't walk around with the feed bag. So the Gemara says, my love, Pigdolim, Umishum Tanuk, are we not dealing with large colts? And therefore, what do we see from here? We see from here that even something that's attached to the animal only for pleasure purposes is still not considered what? Is not considered a burden. Right? Remember, everybody agrees the feed bag is not a necessity. The feed bag is only there in order to go ahead and make life easier for the animal. But we see from the fact that the only concern of the Braisa is taking the colt out into the Rosh Hasharabim, we're not concerned about the Rosh Hasharabim, that shows that the issue is not Masui. The issue is one of potential Hotzah. So therefore, you see from here, this is a port for Rav. Rav was the one who said that Traskol is Mataran Shabbos. You see from here that even saying it's only for Tanu, even saying it's only for pleasure purposes for the animal, is not considered a burden. To which the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Bikitanim, what are we talking about? Young colts. Umishum sa'ar. And what's Kisavos is apparently, I guess, young colts. Rashi says, Kitanim, akvoseyan gedolim, vitzavaran katan. This is actually very interesting. So apparently, the way it works with young colts is they have long legs and short necks. And therefore, apparently, feeding, eating for them is an avoda. So for, because I guess if he makes this otherwise, I'm assuming that what it has to mean is they have to crouch down or bend down or do something in order to eat. As opposed to when they get older where the neck grows as well, they could just simply bend their neck. So therefore the Gemara wants to suggest that the case of the Sayochen with the Traskel is the case of young colts for whom what? The Traskel is not simply Tanuk. What is the Traskel? The traskel is there for the alleviation of tsar, just like the mardas, and that's why it's permitted on Shabbos. Dekanami diktani, you can make a diuk in this price as well, dumya dikamiya, because it's similar to the case of the amulet. The Rabbi said, remember what was the chap with the amulet? We'll discuss the amulet in just a moment. People wore amulets as a way of dealing with choli, as a way of dealing with sickness. So just like, again, the Braisa groups the Traskel case with the Kamiya case, so just like the Kamiya, the amulet is there, Rashi says, Mishum choli, to go ahead and take away sickness, to ward off sickness, so to, again, the Traskel was also there to alleviate some kind of tsar, therefore it must be dealing with the young colts. Okay? Amr Mar. So let me just tell you, just as an aside, bless you. So, not that it's so halacha l'maisa, but it's interesting just to see anyway. So, just the Shulchan Aruch and Simon Shin Hei. paskins chamor yotze bimerdas. Right, we pass this shin hey halacha zayin. The donkey can go out with its mardas on Shabbos, but we pass in like that qualification of Shmuel. V'hu shetei k'shura lo me'erev Shabbos. It only works if what? If the mardas is, bless you, is tied on there on Shabbos. And the Mishnah Berurah comments on this, and he says the following. He says, da'az galoi daito me'etmo shetzricha lekach. So he says like this, because Melanav Shach, if a Marta'as is important, then what? Then it should have been their Erev Shabbos. If it's not their Erev Shabbos, then it shows what? That it's not so important. So we paskin that a Chomer could go out with a Marta'as, with the qualification of Shmuel that it has to be there on Erev Shabbos. However, below Yetzei Bu'ukaf, that your animal may not go out with an Ukaf, with a saddle, Afa Pi Shakashlo Me'erev Shabbos, even if the saddle is tied on an Erev Shabbos. Why not? So the Mishnah Berurah says, the ein ha'ukaf moyelo v'havei masui. Because at the end of the day, the ukaf does not really contribute to anything, and therefore it's called the masui. It's called a burden. The dafka mar da'as moyel shumunach al kol aguf. Ma she'en king ukaf in mechamim ele b'mokum shemunach. So it's interesting. So halach l'maisa, why? Because again, even though you can make the argument that the ukaf contributes heat, that because the ukaf is small, it only gives heat to the animal in one localized location. That's not enough of a benefit to alleviate the tsar of the cold of the animal, and therefore the ukaf can't go out with an ukaf, even if it was tied on Erev Shabbos. One more halacha, then we'll go on. Ein tolin lechamer traskol. You can't go ahead and tie a feed bag onto an animal, b'tzavaro, litin ma'achalo shiyocha misham. Why not? So why can't you go ahead and tie a feed bag onto it? That's how Shulman Paskins. So I was like, we paskin like Shmuel, that the truskel, the feed bag, is only tanug, and something that's the only thing that's not considered a burden for an animal on Shabbos are necessities. But anything that's just for pleasure purposes is considered to be an extra. Once it's considered to be an extra, by definition, it's considered to be a burden. And therefore, even if the traskel was there in Erev Shabbos, the animal may not go out with that traskel on Shabbos itself. Okay.
In the case we just saw, does that mean that Rav's opinion is limited to the case of the small colt?
Correct. No. I'm sorry. No. Rav holds that tanug is not called masui. Their fundamental argument is what is the definition of a burden? So Shmuel would say anything that's not necessary for the basic functioning of an animal is called a masui. Rav will say masui is something that's not that is work related. But anything that's not work-related and gives some kind of benefit to the animal is not called a masui. Nafkamina, traskol. Shmuel will say it's not necessary for the day-to-day benefit of the animal. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, it's masui. Rav will say, but it's not a work, it's not a workload. If it's not a workload, then it should be mutter.
Do they give an account of this at some point?
I'm sorry?
Do they give an explanation of their respective reasons for this? Meaning, why they define it, comment about Rav, like he doesn't know anything about Shabbos.
Right. Not that I'm aware, not in the Gemara itself. I mean, this kind of discussion is in the Rishonim already, but Rav and Shmuel don't seem to get into why they each hold the respective definitions of masui. Amar Mar, below the kamiya. So remember, Mar said this animal can't go out with the kamiya, can't go out with the amulet. Afal pi shel mumcha. Even though it's a proven kamiya. So also remember, we don't have this as much today. By the Sfardin, they have it a little bit more. By the Kabbalists, they still do it. The kamiya, which is an amulet that has certain writings within it, that was felt to have certain powers to be able to either ward off ayin hara, ward off sickness, or chas from somebody who's sick, to alleviate sickness.
We have today because we have the Zodiac.
I'm sorry, we don't need it anymore, right? So the Gemara says the following. Velovi kamiya, so you should know it's an interesting thing. There was a major machlokes, one of the greatest ruptures in Jewish history, of course, was Shabtai Tzvi. So what's interesting is that afterwards, one of the major machlokes that came up was between Rav Yaakov Emdin and Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz. So Rav Yaakov Emdin accused Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz of being a Sabbatian, of being a follower of Shabtai Tzvi, because of some of the amulets that he wrote, that they felt that in some of the kamiyos that he wrote, there were veiled references to Shabtai Tzvi. It turns out he was wrong in the end. He was not a Sabbatian, but it's the kamiyos that ultimately sparked this whole machlokas. Okay, so the Gemara says like this, V'ha'anan t'nan, that we learn, V'lo b'kamiyah she'eno mumcha, but we learned in another Mishnah, that the only amulet that an animal can't go out with is a kamiya she'ena mumcha, a kamiya that's not been proven to work. Ha mumcha, the inference from there is that if the kamiya has been proven to work, shavir dami, then you could go out with it. Ha chenami she'ena mumcha. So the Gemara says, you're right, the Bryce is referring to an amulet. Ena mumcha literally means an expert. So it means that the amulet has not been proven to work. But that doesn't make sense, because the Braisa itself says that the animal can't go out with the kamiya even though it's a mumcha. So okay. The Gemara says, mumcha la'odam ve'en mumcha la'behema. We're talking about a kamiya that is proven to work for a person, but not proven to work for an animal. So the Gemara says, one second. Umi ika mumcha la'odam ve'lo havi mumcha la'behema. Is there such a thing as something that works for a person and would not work for an animal? Meaning if a kamiya works for a person, then why wouldn't it work for an animal? So listen to this to us. It's quite amazing. In Adam de Isle Mazla Misayele. Behema de Lesle Mazla Lo Misayele. So this is actually, we could spend a whole day just on this. So a person who has mazel, the kamiya could help them. An animal that does not have mazel, the kamiya will not help them. Now what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Mazle Maloch Shalo Umelitz Alov. A person has a maloch, every person has a maloch. And that maloch melitz, that maloch ultimately defends me in the Beis Din Shel Malah. So we'll say this is subject of a lot of controversy, because in general there is this idea of mazel, and we even have contradictory ideas by mazel. Because for example, the Gemara says ein mazel li Yisrael, right? But so what does that mean? Do we have mazel? Don't we have mazel? Do we have mazel as individuals, but perhaps not mazel as a collective? What does this mazel mean? Does mazel mean fate? Does mazel mean destiny? Does mazel mean maloch? So there's a lot of discussion on this, but for today our purposes is, but according to Rashi, is that a person who has mazel, a person who already has, we'll call it an angelic advocate working on his behalf, so the kamiya is helpful. But for an animal who does not have an angelic advocate working on his behalf, even if you have a kamiya that works for a person, it may have no effect ultimately on the animal. Okay, so the Gemara says the following. Ihochi, mai ze chomer bebehem mibadam. If that's the case, then why does the Brisa say that this is a stringency that animals have over people? So the Gemara says, Misabris Akamiya Koi, that wasn't referring to the case of the Kamiya, a sandal koi. That was referring to the shoe case. Because what was the shoe case? An animal can't go out with its shoe. Right? Can't go out with its shoe, as opposed to a person who can go out with the shoe. Now I will say, we'll qualify this case a little bit more, because for example, the Gemara, when the Brisa talked about the sandal shibaraglaha, so it's talking about like a horseshoe, right? A shoe that the animal would wear, not like a horseshoe, we'll see exactly what kind of shoe it is, but the point that Gemara is making is this type of shoe an animal can't go out with, not a horseshoe, we'll see what kind of shoe it is. Animal can't go out with the shoe, and that's a chumra, that is a stringency that exists by animals that does not exist by people. Because a person obviously can go out with the shoes, the animal cannot. We have to define that case more. So the Gemara says the following. Tashma, sochin umefarches in la'odam, vein sochin umefarches in la'behema. So the Braisa says like this, sochin means you could go ahead and put oil over a wound. So you could put oil over a wound of an animal, right? You could put sochin mefarches in la'odam. You could go ahead and you could put oil, and mefarches in la'bosa means scrape off a scab. So you could put oil over a sore, or you could scrape off a scab of a person. Ve'ein sochin umefarches in la'behema. But you may not put oil on the wound or scrape off the scab of an animal. All right. So the Gemara says the following: My love, the ika mako, umishum tsar. Are we not talking about a situation where the person has a wound and therefore these things are permitted because of tsar? So the Gemara says, lo, the gomer mako umishum tanu. What are we talking about over here? There is no wound, and you're doing these things dafka. Why? Because of tanu. Look at Rashi. Lo, the gomer mako shenisrapeha mako. The wound is already healed. V'sicha upirchos mishum tanu. And the only reason you're smearing the oil or you're scraping off the scab is what we call literally pleasure. Pleasure. Ularav divadai kasha vahimas nisakama de ukov nami kasha. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says the following. Tashma, behema sha'achzadam. So we'll say what we have over here is the following. The reason, what the Bryce has just told us is we're not as worried about the person ramifications of this as we are the animal ramifications of this. Because what we've just seen from this Braisa is that anything that's done for Tanug is not permitted by the animal. Which fits in perfectly with Shmuel, Because remember, Shmuel said that's why you can't hang the truskel from the animal, because that's only tanum. We would apply, we would expand that then to say that any process that's only done for the sake of tanum, but not done for the sake of the benefit of the animal, can't be done on Shabbos. For people, it can be. Now we're going to qualify it for people also. So the Gemara says the following: Tashma behema sha'achzadam. If an animal is having achzadam, literally means like blood congestion. What it means is the animal is getting overheated. Ain ma'amidin osa b'mayim mishol shetitzdani. You can't put the animal in water in order that the animal should cool down. However, adam sha'achzadam. If a person got dangerously overheated, then what? Then ma'amidin osa b'mayim mishol shetitzdani. You could place the person in water, cold water, or the person will cool down. Amar Ula. Sula said, why not? Mishum schika samimanim. Why can't you put the animal in cold water? Because Ula will say there's a general isser about refuah, medicinal healing on Shabbos. Why can't we engage in medicinal healing on Shabbos? Gezerah of schikas samimonim. A gezerah, ultimately, of grinding herbs on Shabbos. So we'll get into this sugya in much depth. But remember, the fear is that if we allow you to engage in medicinal healing on Shabbos, you may come to go ahead and start making your remedies. That's how people made medicine. They made their own remedies, right? And therefore, again, that entails tochin, that entails grinding, and that's an av melacha. Therefore, Chazal went ahead and said that you can't engage in medicinal healing on Shabbos. And therefore, that would be the logic as to why you can't cool down the animal on Shabbos. You must have been 1 second. Ihachi adam nami. But if that's the case, then why is a person permitted to go into the cold water to cool down? Why don't we say he can't do it either? Why? Because it looks like medicinal healing? Or I'm saying it is medicinal healing. To which the Gemara says, no. Adam nira kimekar. The difference is that if a person goes into a pool of cold water, it doesn't automatically look like what? Look like he's engaging in an act of medicinal healing. Bless you. Why is he going into the cold water? To cool down. Cool down. And people cool down. Remember, also we spoke on this, that Rav Moshe, remember Moses Shuva, Rav Moshe said that in Europe, in the summer, people always took cold showers. People took cold showers. It wasn't, they cooled down. So the fact that I'm cooling down, there's no issue of cooling down on Shabbos. Again, that's not bathing. There's no issue cooling down on Shabbos. So therefore, the act of putting a person in cold water doesn't look like healing, doesn't look like refuah. And therefore, it's permitted on Shabbos. Ihachi behemanami. So the Gemara says, "Yeah, behem and I'm a new maker." So the Gemara says, "But why don't you say something for the animal? Put the animal in cold water because it looks like you're not healing the animal; you're just putting the animal in cold water." Ain maker le behema, because people don't do that with animals. Right? People don't put animals in cold water in order to cool down. So the Gemara says, "1 second, ule behema migazrinan." Now, is that you know? So obviously, they're reflecting societal realities, right? You can't. What are you shaking your head at? Right? See, you can't shake your head at that, because again, all the Gemara is saying is that's just what they did. I have to understand. The Gemara is not saying that no one puts animals in cold water to cool down. They're reflecting the realities of how they're raising their animals. So they're saying people just never put animals in cold water for the sake of putting animals in cold water to cool down. People only put animals in cold water for one purpose, one reason, which was what? To go ahead, that the animal became overheated. Therefore, by definition, what the Gemara is just simply saying is, halacha lemaisa, the act of putting an animal in cold water doesn't look like anything other than what? Medicinal healing. And that's why it's problematic on Shabbos. As opposed to, using this logic, the Gemara wouldn't argue with the fact that if you lived in a locale where it was very common to go ahead and put an animal in cold water, just let the animal spazier around in the cold water, then ein achinami, that would not be a problem on Shabbos. The Gemara is just reflecting the realities of what they're contending with over here. But the Gemara asks a more global question. Ula behema migazrinon. Are we really gozer about medicinal healing by animals? You see, this whole discussion presupposes that the gzera of schikas samamanim, which applies to people, also applies to animals. The Gemara says, do we apply that to animals? Vatanya, haiso medes chutz letchum, kori la v'hiba. So this is an interesting case. If an animal was standing outside of the tchum, so you could go ahead and you could call the animal. Remember, you have 2,000 amos in which to travel. Let's say your animal wandered outside of the tchum. You could call your animal to come back, right? You could call your animal to come back to you. And we're not concerned that by allowing you to go ahead and what? call the animal that you may come to actively lead the animal. Now, both say, remember, lead actively leading the animal from outside the tchum into the tchum would be a halachic problem. Brings something outside the tchum into the tchum. So, what do you see from that? That we're not concerned. That when it comes to animals, apparently we don't apply a lot of these other gzeros that apply to people. So, just like again, if the animal's outside of the tchum, I'm not concerned that if you call it in, you may come to lead it in. So, we would make maybe the same logic by saying that what? That maybe I shouldn't be concerned by schikas samimon, and that if I allow the animal to go into cold water, then I'll come to grand medicine as well. Or in other words, maybe just the gzeros that apply to people don't apply to animals. To which the Gemara says, no, that case is actually different. Amar Ravina, kegon shahaya tchum shala muvla besoch tchum shalo. The case over there was where the two tchumin overlap. But also the case over here, as the Gemara explains, is actually where I gave my animal over to a shepherd before Shabbos. That shepherd is watching my animal for me. And it happens here that the shepherd's tchum overlaps with my tchum. So even though right now, halacha l'maaseh, the animal is outside of my tchum, because those two tchumin overlap a little bit, I'm permitted to go ahead and call the animal. Fine, so the Gemara is just pointing out over here, don't bring a raya from that particular case. So the Gemara says, Ranach Bar Yitzchak Amar, Schikas Samimonim Gufa Tenoihi. So Ranach Bar Yitzchak says, let me tell you something. The whole gezeira of Schikas Samimonim, that you may come to grind medicinal herbs, is in and of itself a machlokes tanoim. So what's that mean? This whole idea, here, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Tanoihi, Diika delogazer sharafuos atus chikas samimonim. Not everybody agrees that this whole gzera even applies. I mean, not everybody agrees that we won't allow you to engage in medicinal healing because you may come to grind herbs. After all, the Gemara says, Disanyo, behema shachla karshina. If you have an animal that ate vetch, lo yiritzena bechatz in bishosha disrape, you should not have it run around the chatzar in order that its bowels become loosened. Rabbi Yoshia Matir, Rabbi Yoshia says it's mutter. Darish Rava, Rava Darshin, Halacha Rabbi Yoshia, that the Halacha follows Rabbi Yoshia. So Rabbi Yoshia, you see from here that Rabbi Yoshia clearly paskins that this whole gezeira doesn't even apply to animals to begin with. So the Gemara is just pointing out that we really have a two-tier machlokas. A, does the gzeira of Schika Samimanim really apply in all cases of refuah? That's machlokas number one. And even if you say that the gzeira of Schika Samimanim does it apply to animals or not? So these are the machloksim. Omer Mar, lo yetzi hazov bikis. Bikis shalom.
What happens if the issue is you're worried the animal's going to get over to death?
Is that for financial loss?
Tzar Bali Chaim will be something different. Tzar Bali Chaim will be something different. Because again, we'll actually get into that sugya about is Tzar Bali Chaim Docha Shabbos. I mean, financial loss, that's not really going to come into the equation over here, because Shabbos, I'm obligated to suffer financial. Tzar Bali Chaim will see the interface between, because there it's more interesting, because there Tzar Bali Chaim is a Doraisa, and Shabbos is a Doraisa. So we're going to get to that sugya. Right now, the assumption is that all that's going to happen over here is you could put the animal in the cold water and it'll cool off faster, or you could leave it on the land and it'll cool off by itself. So the idea over here is that the animal ultimately is going to cool off. It's just a question of whether it takes a little bit longer or a little bit shorter. But we'll see your case later. Amar Mar, lo yetzi hazav b'kishlo, lo izin b'kishlo b'dodehen. So we said in the Mishnah that the zav may not go out with his pouch, and the goats may not go out with the pouch around their udders. V'hatanya yotzos izin b'kishlo b'dodehen. Aye, but we learned elsewhere that the goats can go out with the pouch that's around the udder. Amrav Yehuda lo kashya, it's not a question, not a contradiction. Hadim mehadak, hadu lo mehadak. It's talking about two cases. One is where the pouch was very securely fastened to the udder, in which case, again, halacha l'maaseh, there's no fear it may come off, and the owner may come to carry it. And the other is where the pouch may come off, not fastened as tightly, where there's a concern that it will come off and the owner will come to carry it. Rav Yosef Amar Tanoi. Tanoi shakalta me alma. So Rav Yosef says, one second, have you removed all of the tanoim from the world? Now what does that mean? Rav Yosef is saying that what you're talking about over here is actually a machlokes tanoim. So don't just simply answer it up as saying one is where the pouch is tightly attached and one is where it's not tightly attached. This is a machlokes tanoim. This name, ha'izin yotzin tsuros. Yotzos tsuros. If you remember again from the Mishnah we saw, that the izin, Right, the goats can go ahead and go out tsuros. So tsuros means tied. Rabbi Yosef Omer, Rabbi Yossi Oser Bekulon. Rabbi Yossi asers in all of these cases. Chutz min harechelos hakavunos. The only case Rabbi Yossi allowed for was the ewes that were fastened. We'll see if you still haven't defined what these terms actually mean yet. Rabbi Huda says, Izim yotos tsururos liyavish avalo lechalav. Rabbi Huda says that goats go out. Tsururos, goats go out tied, if that's in order to go, if you're tying the udder tightly, tying the patch on the udder tightly, to stop the goats from producing milk. Avalo lechalav. But not to go ahead and catch the milk, because again, if you're catching the milk, the pouch wasn't tied on as tight. And you can say really both brises, both the mission and the brises are reflective of Rabbi Huda. One is talking about a case where you're tying the pouch onto the udders to dry out the milk supply, in which case again the pouch was attached tightly. And one case is talking about where it's there to catch the milk, in which case the pouch was not tied on tightly. Tanya Amr Rabbi Huda, Maise Beizim, based on Tuchya, Sheir Dadei and Gassin. So the Brisa now quotes another Brisa named Rabbi Huda, says that there was an episode of the goats of based on Tuchya that had very large udders. And ultimately, there were pouches made around the udders, not in order to catch the milk or not in order to go ahead and stop the milk, but what? To prevent the udders from being scraped by the ground. They would drag against the ground. So ultimately, again, the pouches were made for this purpose. So we'll say the point of what the Gemara is making is that halacha lemaisa, it's machlokes tanoim, really about whether or not the animal could go out with this pouch. So whether it's machlokes tanoim, whether or not it's mutter also to begin with, or perhaps the way the Gemara wants to go is that no, it depends on the nature of the pouch and how it's attached. If it's there in order to stop the animal from producing milk, that pouch is attached tightly, and therefore no concern that it may become detached in Rosh Sarabim. As opposed to if it's there only to catch the milk, in which it's tied on loosely, then there's a concern that it may become detached, and it may come to carry. Tan Rabbanon. Also, the Gemara tells quite an amazing story. Ma'aseh ba'od ba'echad shemese ishto. There was a story of a man whose wife died, v'henicha ben liyonek. And she left behind a young child who was nursing. V'lo hayelo schar miniko. And he did not have any money to hire a wet nurse. So what happened? V'lo hayelo schar miniko litein. V'na'asa lo neis v'niftuchu lo dodin. Kishnei dode isha. Alright, so we'll say. So a miracle happened. And essentially, he developed the ability to nurse. And I will say, I'll tell you. V'heini gesmona, he nursed his son. I will say, I'll tell you the Ma'aral. Understands this Gemara to be a metaphor. The Maharal in general takes an approach that these type of supernatural Gemaras are never to be understood literally. So what does it mean that he now developed the ability to nurse like a woman? So Pasha, what the Maharal says is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the resources to support his child. Right? That's the metaphor here. Not that literally he developed, the female ability to go ahead and, thank you. I appreciate that.
It's not a dirty word. Right.
Okay. I got it. Right. So, yeah, don't take out the PowerPoint either. Okay. So now the Gemara says like this. So the Maharal understands it to be metaphorical that halacha lemaisa, he gave him the ability to go ahead and take care of the child. Not that literally, he developed as a woman. So the Ark, but nevertheless, we'll read the Gemara. So Amar Rav Yosef, Bo'u re'e kama godol odom zeh, shena'ase lo neis kazeh. So Rav Yosef says, see how great this man is, that this miracle was performed for him. Amar le'abaye, adraba, kama garua odom zeh, shenishtanu lo sidrei bereshis. So it's interesting. Rav Yosef says it's a fundamental machlokes. So Rav Yosef says, look how great he is that this miracle occurred. Abaye says, look how garua, look how deficient he is that this miracle was done for him. So Rav Yosef says it's quite an amazing idea. So Abaye says, look how lacking this person is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to change the laws of nature. Now Rav Yosef says, where Abaye is coming from is like this: that whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a miracle, anytime HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a miracle for you, it's coming out of your bank account. It's coming out of your bank account. So the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not provide for you with natural means, but would go ahead and provide a supernatural answer to this type of situation, indicates that this person is going to have a significant draw against their bank account. Amar Rav Yehuda, bo'u re'e kama kashim mizanosa shel adam. See how difficult it is to make a parnasa. Sheneshtanu alav sidrei bereshis. All right, so also listen to this, that you see how difficult parnasa is, that sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu has to change the laws of nature. Amar Rav Nachman teida, de misrach eshnisa velo ivri mizone. Also, right, the fundamental problem with this story, especially if you understand it literally, is why doesn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wouldn't it be easier for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to cause, you know, two big bottles of Similac to come down from Shamayim than to go ahead, right, and endow this man with female characteristics, which is, the Gemara understands over here, like almost like a Musar in terms of Parnasa. That Parnasa is so difficult that sometimes it's easier to create supernatural activity than it is to go ahead and find Parnasa. Okay, but so again, maybe I'll ask you the Chiddush HaGadol. The Maharal Chiddush HaGadol has a beautiful insight into this, where he says that essentially what's happening over here is the whole point of the Gemara is giving almost like two sides of the same coin. On one hand, so Parnasa is so difficult to come by. On the other hand, a Jew also has to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never forsake him. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always come through. Sometimes in natural means, sometimes supernatural means, but God always finds a way to provide. Let's go just a little bit weiter. Tanur Abanan, Ma'aseh Ba'adam Echad Shenase Ishe Gidemes. There was once the story of a man who married a woman without a hand. Without a hand. Gidemes. And let's actually define that over here. Gidemes. Yada Ketua. She was an amputee. All right, so what happened? And this is actually amazing also. Velo hikir ba'ad yomosa. And he never knew. He never knew that his wife was an amputee. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Rav, bo'u re'e kama tzanua ishazu, shelo hikir ba'ayla. See how incredibly tzanua, see how modest this woman was, that her husband never knew that she was a gidea. Amar lo Rabbi Chiya, zu darka b'kach. So the fact that she was so tzanua, that's obvious. Ela kama tzanua adam zeh, shelo hikir b'ishto. But see, ultimately, how tzanua this particular man was, that what? That he never realized this in his wife. Okay. Zecharim Yotzin Levuvin. Let's show this a little bit weiter, both sides. So Zecharim Yotzin Levuvin. So remember, Zecharim Levuvin means attached. So what does it mean that the male goats, the goats go out Levuvin? My Levuvin, Amar Rav Huna, Tutri. So Rav Huna says Tutri means they go out in pairs, that they would often tie the sheep together, the goats together, that they should be paired together. I guess it would ensure that one would not wander off, you keep it rooted to the other. My mashma dahai levuvin lishne de kruvihu. How do you know that levuvin is lashon of kruvin? Dechsev levavtoni achosi kalo. Fine, quotes the pasuk from Shir Hashirim, libavtini achosi kalo. That ultimately, libavtini is lashon of, you have captured my heart. You have captured my heart. So levuvin means things that are attached to each other, bonded to each other. Ula amar, or shekosher lahen keneged liban. Ula says that no, levuvin refers to the piece of leather, piece of hide, that they would tie opposite the heart of the goat. Why? Kedei shelo yiplu aleim ze'evin. In order that wolves would not attack. Apparently when wolves attack their prey, the first thing they go for is the heart of the prey. So to attack, to protect the lamb, the goat, from the wolf, they would tie on this piece of leather. Ze'evim aschar azachorim nafli, anekevos lo nafli. I don't understand. So the wolves only attack the male sheep, not the female? So the Gemara says, no. Mishum demaski beresh idra. So ultimately, it's because the males were often put at the head of the flock. Because they were put at the head of the flock, that's why they were first to really, if the wolves would attack, they would get the brunt of the attack. V'ze'evin beresh idra nafli, b'sof idra no nafli. Wolves only attack the front of the herd, or the flock, not the back of the flock. Ela mishum deshamni. Rather, it's because the male goats are very fat. So therefore, again, the wolves would normally attack the fattest animals. Ubenekevos lekashumni, and the female animals are not fat. Vesu, miodea ben hani lahani, and do the wolves know they're seeing male sheep, right, the male and the females? Ela mishum dezokvi chutmayu, umasku beidavu. Rather, the Gemara says like this. Now, what's the issue over here? When the male animals walk, this is actually very interesting. What do? They walk zakli chutmayo. They walk with their nose in the air. Umasku beidavu. Look at Rashi. Beidavu mabitin kan ukan. They look in both ways. They turn their heads from direction to direction. They turn their head from one direction to the next direction. Levichach miskanin ban kisvurin shirotin lilachimim. So apparently the posture of the male sheep when they're leading the herd is their nose are up in the air. They're looking from side to side, which has the appearance of looking for a particular fight. Therefore, again, they are most prone to be attacked by the sheep. All right, Tabosei, you know what? We'll stop over here.